All right, I want to inspire Tom Scott. So I'm going to read a little bit of this current story from yesterday. It's called "You Asked, We Answered." Could a bill legalizing tolls reappear during a special session? I love the beginning of this. It just inspires a sense of confidence and strong leadership on the part of the governor. Here we go. Governor Ned Lamont hopes that a special session of the state legislature will take up the $18 billion transportation plan he is currently finalizing. That may well happen before the end of the year. So it sounds like they've spent all these months, Tom, figuring things out, and they're ready to go. What do you think?
Well, I think that the editors at the Hartford Courant are having a very difficult time masking their own enthusiasm for tolls in the state of Connecticut, just like they were pushing the income tax back in the day. I think it is inevitable that there will be a proposal on tolls, and it will be interesting to see how it comes about. And what I mean by that, Todd, is the call of the session probably won't say anything about tolls. And if you can bear with me for a moment, when the session is called, and remember, it can be called by the governor, it can be called by the leaders of the legislature, or it can be called by a majority of the House and Senate signing an actual petition on this. And then the state police go out and actually issue summonses, and they bring these people in for a special session. The call has to be specific. The written call will say whatever it's going to say. It could be a bonding issue, it could be whatever. But once they're there, the Senate and the House will adopt rules. And the rules will no doubt contain parliamentary trickery, which will allow these guys to amend the call at any time and turn the session into a wide open session on any topic that they choose.
Why wouldn't they always do that?
Well, remember, the Constitution of the state of Connecticut limits the legislature to 5 months in the odd-numbered years and 3 months in the even-numbered years. And that's a good thing. The intention of the people that wrote that way back when was to guarantee, in theory at least, that we have a part-time legislature. So if the call said, we're having a special session for the purpose of considering enacting tolls, it would really give us, we the people, something very tangible to organize around. And it's sort of easy to explain, if you will, Todd, to people who think we're not going to have tolls, just like a lot of people who hated the income tax never thought it would pass.
So there are surprises coming, but right now they're still being vague. And it just seems strange to me that they're still pushing for the same thing, but they seem not to have built any consensus beyond where they were months ago.
No, but, you know, there's a lot of spin out there now. I don't know if you saw the column in the Middletown Press from Dan Haar, who I think you've had on a couple of times with Hearst Publications.
I did see the column, yeah.
Saying that tolls are inevitable because of this mysterious $600 million gap. And he seems to be an advocate for tolls, and he's not alone.
Oh, he loves them.
Yeah, and so you're getting a lot of this spin right now, and remember what you and I have talked about many times. These freshman Democrats, in particular these freshman Democrats, and some Democratic House and Senate members who are from, let's call them purple districts, districts that can go either way in a normal year for president or governor, they are very, very nervous. They don't have 76 votes in the House or 18 votes in the Senate yet, which is why they're desperate to get Republican fingerprints on this thing to give some cover to these weak-kneed Democrats they're having trouble with, which is why I was so pleased to hear you on Friday calling out the Senate Republican leader and having the head of the tolls organization, Sasser, on there saying, look, we're not partisan. We're going after everybody and anybody that votes for tolls. And I was equally happy to hear Representative, what's her name, the House-ranking member on transportation.
Laura Devlin.
Absolutely. What a solid, solid legislator. She came on your show. She was unequivocal. She said, not now, not ever. And that's what we need to hear from Republicans.
Yeah, there aren't enough Republicans who talk like that, but it's unacceptable in my mind for anyone to not talk like that. You can't be considered a viable candidate for anything if you can't talk like that.
You know, knowing the legislative process as I do, and watching Republicans, some of them, a very small number, but enough to make it pass, enough Republicans sell out on the income tax, I don't, look, until the votes are cast, I don't like to be unequivocal about things, but here's what I will say. I don't think a single Republican in the House of Representatives will ever be even remotely tempted to vote for tolls. I think we can count on it. I think you can take it to the bank. I would say that's also true with the Senate Republicans, with one exception, and that's the leader of the Senate Republicans, Len Fasano.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre that he's the weak link? How did that happen? Oh, well, hold on a sec, Tom. We'll continue in just a moment. Time for us to get a quick traffic and weather together on the 8th. Then we will be right back and talk more about this with Tom Scott. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, Tom. What were we, do you recall where we were? We were at a beautiful spot.
Yeah, what I was saying was, at the risk of sounding partisan, I think the people of Connecticut can be confident that Republicans are going to stand strong on this. Every one of them in the House and virtually every one of them in the Senate. The weak link is the Senate Republican leader, Len Fasano, as you pointed out on Friday, and you quoted him. Those were his words, who was hardly unequivocal about this, was leaving a big gap between yes and no on tolls, when, as the leader of the Republican Party, because he is the highest ranking Republican in Connecticut right now, should be as unequivocal as Themis Claridis in the House has been. Mm-hmm. Themis has been very, very strong on this. And then you had Bob Stefanowski on the same day, right after Fasano. Now, Bob Stefanowski wanted to be governor of this state, and in each party, whoever the governor is, whether they like it or not, they become the titular head of their party. So had Stefanowski won, he not only would have been governor, he would have been the titular head of the Republican Party. And you asked him a direct question. You quoted Len Fasano, the Republican leader, and you put it to him, and he punted. And then you pushed again, and you put it to him a second time, and he still punted. And, you know, anybody who wants to be governor of this state, and, you know, he won his primary as an outsider, not as an insider, should not regress and become an insider, like Fasano is. The fact is, we need people who are going to stand tall on behalf of the people of Connecticut. This is no time to punt. This is no time to be equivocal.
I think it's a really interesting thing that happened with Bob on Friday, and I'm glad you pointed it out, because it's a study in how, if you don't have the proper instincts, like if your gut is not operating properly, then it's easy to get caught up in relationships or who you want to do favors for or whatever, and to lose sight of the most obvious things. What Len Fasano does when he says, well, I don't know, you know, this new toll proposal might be okay. I've got to look at it. How can I answer before I look at it? Well, you can answer any day of the week. You can say, I'll look at any proposal, but if it's got tolls, no way I'm going near it. And I don't understand why Len Fasano would do that to the people of the state, and I don't know why Bob Stefanowski couldn't call him out on it.
Well, because I think he's, again, this requires speculation on my part, obviously, but I think he has come to the point where he believes that to the extent he runs for governor again, his path to the nomination and his path to winning is to go with loser insiders like Len Fasano. And, you know, Bob won a stunning victory in the primary, and his instincts were completely intact during the primary. But the day after the primary, you know, he met with Fasano. And then the first thing Fasano said was, you know, listen to me, don't listen to these other guys. And it goes to what you just said. You either have an instinct for this stuff or you don't. You're either going to be a leader on this stuff or you're not. You can't have it both ways. These are the times that try men's souls, and it's time for people to stand tall.
But I want to dive a little deeper into this dynamic, because you know so much about it, Tom Scott. And that is, what is it about? So if you're in Stefanowski's position, you are the guy who could walk in, and he's been working hard to do this over the past year. He's been aligning himself with the anti-toll movement. What would be so seductive about an alliance with Len Fasano, who is the betrayer of the people of Connecticut. And he's the betrayer of the people who believe in conservative values and the betrayer of people whose loyalties are to Republicans. What would make the Republican nominee even have an inkling of feeling like, oh, I could really do well if I align myself with the traitor Len Fasano?
Well, because if you don't know any better, and that's really what I'd like to stipulate here, if you don't know any better, you think a guy like Fasano matters. Because, and I'm talking about in elections now, not in terms of policy and, you know, what goes on up there. But he doesn't matter. Because when it comes to primaries, Len Fasano can deliver one vote, his own. Maybe his spouse's, I don't know, I don't want to get too personal about this. And in the general election, Len Fasano delivers one vote, his own. He, you know, you get caught up in this rarefied air under the dome at the state capitol, and you think a guy like Len Fasano matters. You know, and he doesn't matter. The guy's there in part because no one else wanted the job. When the last Republican leader was there, Len was the deputy, and Len basically was running the Senate because the other guy had better things to do. And it was Fasano who was in the room writing the anti-gun bill, for example. It was Fasano making a deal with Malloy on the $500 million bailout of the city of Hartford. And you know, we could go right down the list, Todd. If not for you, we would have a constitutional amendment pending now to allow early voting, which would make it even harder for Republicans to win elections. So Fasano doesn't matter. The guy doesn't know anything about elections, but he's there because no one else wanted the job. But what I'm saying is he doesn't matter.
All right. I want to just close by reading you. I got an email about you today. If you have Tom Scott,
I bet you did.
If you have Tom Scott, the former Connecticut senator, on today, I would love to hear why the Republicans are doing nothing to get this state corrected. When Len Fasano, the minority leader in the Senate, says he will look at the bill that includes a couple of tolls, that just proves to me that Republicans are getting financed by the same union groups as the Democrats. They're drinking the same Kool-Aid. They are in bed with them. I know that the majority calls the shots, but the Republicans should take every chance they get to discredit the Democrats every time. Now, how come a random guy sending me an email understands, but Len Fasano and Bob Stefanowski don't?
Well, here's what I would say. I wish you and your audience could get to know all of the rank-and-file Republican members of the House and Senate, because you will find that there are many heroes in those caucuses. And there are many people who are really good people. They're there for the right reasons. Fasano's not there for the right reason. He just, you know, is a lawyer from New Haven, the leader of the Senate. Looney is one of his pals. And Looney, you know, treats Fasano like the chump that he is, even though they're friends. And he rolls them every time they try to make a deal. To sum it up, I'd say primaries matter. And that's where the person that wrote that email has more influence than he or she probably realizes. Primaries matter. And the reason that Stefanowski won the primary in 2018 is precisely because he wasn't in bed with guys like Fasano. He ran as an outsider, and he won big, and he could have and should have won the election for governor, but he blew it because he started listening to guys like Fasano.
Well,
right after the primary.
It goes back to instincts, which we've already discussed.
Right.
But this is a business of instincts. And either you've got an instinct for protecting the people against the insiders, and you've got an instinct for running things properly, or you don't. And
right.
You also have to have an instinct for how power works, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, and some people say, oh, this sounds personal. No, it
doesn't. By the way, we've only got a few seconds, so wrap it up.
Hey, I'm tired of losing. This is not personal. You know, Bob, if he runs again, he will not be the nominee of the Republican Party. That I can guarantee you.
All right, Tom Scott, thank you, sir. Always great to get your
Anytime.
Input on this stuff. Appreciate it.